This is Pentecost Sunday, so I thought I'd bring a message today to you on the Holy Spirit. If you would turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter 92 and verse 10. Psalm chapter 92 and verse 10. This is David speaking. It says, "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." I want you to notice the last part of that verse today. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I'd like to preach to you the message of fresh oil this morning. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon our time. Father, we do thank you for this time that we have here today. And I just pray with a sense of desperation, Lord, that we would all be filled with fresh oil before we leave here today. Holy Spirit, you would have a work in us and among us and through us, a work that only you can do. Lay it upon our hearts to be desperate for you, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I shall be anointed with fresh oil, David said. In fact, I learned something in preparing for this message. I learned that David was not just anointed one time. He was actually anointed three times, and that's why he could say, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13, or look at your board here. We'll put it up for you. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." This was the time when David was still a teenager. He was a shepherd boy. And Samuel came to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king of Israel. God had decided that he was going to replace Saul with a man after his own heart. Saul was man's choice for a king anyway. David wanted his own choice to be king. Saul was anointed with a man-made bowl, symbolizing that he was man's leader. David would be anointed with oil from a ram's horn, signifying that he was God's man. He was the man that God had chosen to lead Israel. But you know, before that time, David was not the person that the people would have picked to be king. Jesse's house, he had his seven sons lined up. And Samuel came there to anoint one of those sons to be the next king. And I picture them as lining up from the oldest to the youngest. And Samuel came and he saw the firstborn son of Jesse, Eliab. And he looked at him and he said, "This is a fine specimen of man. Surely God has chosen him to be king." And God said, "I have not chosen him." So Samuel went to the secondborn and he looked at him and he thought to himself, "Surely God has chosen him to be the next king." And God said, "I have not chosen him either." And Samuel went all the way down the line through seven boys. And God said, "I have not chosen any of them." And Samuel looked around and he looked at Jesse and he said, "Do you have any other sons?" And Jesse said, "Yeah, I have one son, but he's out tending the sheep and you don't really want him anyway." Samuel said, "Let's go and see him." And when he saw David, God spoke to him and he says, "This is the choice that I have made. I have chosen this young man to be the next king. For man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart." Don't look at the outward appearance of David. "I've not chosen him because of his outward appearance, but I've chosen him because of what's inside his heart." And David was anointed at that time to be king. But David wanted to be anointed with fresh oil. And anointed with fresh oil, David was. 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 4. 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 4. "And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah." Now David is anointed king over the house of Judah. At this time, the kingdom was divided. And David was chosen to be the king over Judah. Wait, I thought David was anointed back when he was a teenager. I thought he was anointed back then. But you see, now he's got a new task. And he's anointed with fresh oil. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 3, "So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel." This was the third time that David was anointed king. That's why David could say in the 92nd Psalm, "I will be anointed with fresh oil." David as king was anointed with olive oil. Olive oil was used to anoint the kings and priests in those days. But you know, the Bible tells us that all New Testament believers are priests and kings. We are a chosen generation, a holy priesthood, a royal nation, a peculiar people. God has chosen you to be His king. God has chosen you to be His priest. Back in the Old Testament, only the priests could offer sacrifices. They were the ones that ministered to God on behalf of the people. But now, all of us, as Christian believers, we have direct access to God. We don't need to go through the priest. And so we are all to be priests and kings, serving and worshiping the Lord. And it's not just worshiping the Lord, but it's Him responding back to us as well. So the Holy Spirit anoints us as Christians to be kings and priests unto God. And I want you to know today that from time to time, the Christian worker needs a fresh anointing and a fresh endowment of God's power. We need the fresh oil. We need to be anointed with fresh oil. I would like to show you today some of the major results of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is not a complete list. This is just some of the things that I've picked out of Scripture. This should give you a desire to want fresh oil and the anointing of God in your life, because with it comes these things: God's help, God's hand being with you, God's strength, freedom from deception, victory over one's enemies, influence over nations, the establishment of one's descendants forever, a glistening countenance, a breaking of the yoke of bondage, spiritual sight and insight, the power of God, the ability to go around and do good, the presence of God in your life, more joy than those around you, spiritual fruitfulness. Look at that. That is just a partial list of some of the things the Bible says that accompanies the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Don't you want those things in your life? I want those things in my life. And it might mean that I need a fresh endowment from God. I might need fresh oil. I might need to let the Holy Ghost breathe on me again in order to have those things. I don't know if you know who Jack Hiles is or not. Anybody know? Have you heard of Jack Hiles? Back in the late 70s and early 80s, he had the largest Sunday school in the world. I don't know where the church stands today, but back then they had the largest Sunday school in the world, and it was in Hammond, Indiana. His testimony is what God can do with little talent and ability if you give it to God. The night Jack Hiles was called by God to preach, he told his pastor, he said, "Pastor, God has called me to preach." And the pastor responded, "Are you sure?" Just previous to that, there had been another young boy in their youth from their church whom God has called to preach. And when the pastor got up and announced that this young man had been called to preach, the congregation shouted amen and clapped and were thrilled to death. But when the pastor said, "Jack Hiles has been called to preach," there were no amens, only a few oh my's. That was as spiritual as the congregation got that night. Nobody was excited about it. He tells in his testimony about it being a watch night service, and Jack Hiles' father did not live with the family. His mom and dad had been separated or divorced, I'm not sure which. But he saw his dad every New Year's Day. And so the next day, he was to meet his dad. His dad was a drunkard and cursed God and preachers every chance he got. He especially hated preachers. So in 1945, New Year's Day, Jack Hiles met his father, and he told him that he was going to be a preacher. His dad kicked him and swore at him and said, "You're no son of mine." A crowd of people started to gather around, And his dad kicked him and swore at him again. And then his dad began to walk away. But just for good measure, I guess, he came back and he kicked Jack Hiles again and he swore at him again. And he said, go ahead and be a preacher. And while you're at it, why don't you have the largest church in the world? And he kicked Jack Hiles and he walked away again. A few years later, Jack Hiles tells about how he was given an award for having the largest Sunday school in the world. Do you know what he thought about? He thought about his dad's words, go ahead and have the largest church in the world. So he got off by himself and he cried and he said, I did it, Daddy, I did it. I took your advice. I did what you told me to. I've got the largest Sunday school in the world. Jack Hiles can only be explained because the anointing of the Holy Spirit was on his life. Jack Hiles was a Baptist preacher, but he believed in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and he told his fellow preachers, I don't care what you think of me, I believe in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Listen, I have preached without the anointing. When I first started preaching, I didn't know that there was such a thing as an anointing. I didn't know how to get it. I didn't know what to do about it. I've told you some of my first sermons you wouldn't have wanted to have heard. But I got on my knees one day before God and I said, God, I will not preach any more barren sermons. I won't do it. I won't do it. I will not go into the pulpit and be dry again. You've got to do something with me. And I don't say this to brag. I only say this to tell you what God can do when we ask for an anointing of the Spirit upon our lives. When I took my advanced homiletics class, I had the highest grade in the class. And it wasn't me. It was because I just learned that I've got to have a fresh anointing every time I go in the pulpit or proclaim God's word. The dean of North Central, my freshman year, was called to pastor a church in the Twin Cities area. And one time he asked me to come and preach. I can't remember if I was a junior or a senior then. And I came and I preached on a Sunday night, and he told me, he said, I'm just amazed that you're able to preach like that. Because he remembered me as a freshman. And something happened between that time that I was a freshman and the time I learned that we need to have God's anointing on our life. I knew I needed the breath of God on me. Please listen to me today. There is more to what the Holy Spirit wants to do with you than simply infill you at salvation. Some people think that's all there is, really, as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned. He infills us at salvation. That's not all He wants to do with you. He wants to do far more than that with you. And every single one of us need the power of God. You need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I've read about great men of God. I read about them when I get the chance. I read about John Wesley, how he prayed all night with about 60 preachers. When all of a sudden, the power of God fell, and he knew for the first time that he had the fullness of the Spirit. Peter Cartwright was so full of the Spirit that he turned a dance into a revival. He came to a dance, and this girl asked him if he would dance with her. And he said, yes, I'll dance with you, but first let's pray. And he grabbed that girl by the hand, and he got on his knees, and he pulled her down to her knees, and he began to pray with such power and with such anointing that before he knew it, everybody on the place was on their knees. People were getting saved and getting right with God. We need the power of God on our lives. We need a fresh anointing of His Spirit. We need to be clothed with power from on high. We need the fullness of the Spirit. Don't be a powerless Christian. Get on your knees and wait upon God. Sometimes you have to wait. You have to wait and you have to wait and you have to wait. But Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 promises, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I beg you not to leave here today without the power of God. I don't care what else you might learn from this service, but if you walk out of here powerless today, you have not gotten what you came here for. Charles Spurgeon spoke of the great need of the Holy Spirit. He said, if we do not have the Spirit of God, it were better to shut the churches, nail up the doors, to put a black cross on them and say, God, have mercy on us. If you ministers have not the Spirit of God, you had better not preach, and you people had better stay at home. I think I speak not too strongly when I say that the church in the land without the Spirit of God is rather a curse than a blessing. If you have not the Spirit of God, Christian worker, remember that you stand in somebody else's way. You are as a tree bearing no fruit, standing where another fruitful tree might grow. This is solemn work. The Holy Spirit are nothing and worse than nothing. Death and condemnation to a church that is not yearning after the Spirit and crying and groaning until the Spirit has wrought mightily in her midst. He is here. He has never gone back since he descended at Pentecost. He is often grieved and vexed, for he is peculiarly jealous and sensitive, and the one sin never forgiven has to do with his blessed person. Therefore, let us be very tender towards him, walk humbly before him, wait on him very earnestly, and resolve that there should be nothing knowingly continued which should prevent him dwelling in us and being with us henceforth and forever. You don't have to be a powerless Christian. The power of God is as much for you as anybody. The power of God is as much for you as it was John Wesley or Peter Cartwright or anybody else. Listen to these verses. Let's let them soak into your being this morning as we talk about verses and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Spirit. Luke chapter 3 and verse 16, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, have heard of me. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And Acts 2:4, the fulfillment of that promise, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And verse 8 adds, and people said, how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? How do these people know our language? It was a spiritual phenomenon as the Holy Ghost was poured out upon those 120 people gathered in an upper room, just patiently waiting on the Lord, waiting for the promised Spirit, waiting for the power of God. On that day of Pentecost, the people were gathered there in one accord. They had been in a prayer meeting, 10-day prayer meeting. But they all believed what the Lord Jesus Christ was going to do. They believed that he was God manifest in the flesh. They believed the promise that he told them. He told them to go to Jerusalem and simply wait, and that he would pray the Father to send another comforter. These Christians were united on that promise, united on the Word of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ kept his word. He prayed, and the Father sent the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came down on them, filling them all, baptizing them with power that they could go out and be witnesses. They turned the world upside down. How else can you explain the change in those disciples except for Pentecost, except for the fullness of the Spirit? There is no explanation. These men were cowering when Jesus was taken away. You couldn't find them anywhere except for John. He was at the cross. Peter was following from a distance, but he denied the Lord three times. These men were scattered everywhere. They were weak. They were intimidated. They were fearful. But after Pentecost, they had a new boldness. And they went out and they spread the word of God. And they had a new power that people were amazed. And they took notice and said, surely these men have been with Jesus. Peter, the one who was the one denying the Lord, all of a sudden on the day of Pentecost, he becomes the spokesman. And he stands up and preaches. And he points the finger at them and says, you have crucified Jesus Christ. Preached a very strong prophetic sermon. I cannot explain the difference in them except that the Holy Spirit came and changed them. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now please understand something here this morning. The mistake comes when we think that one or two times of infilling of the Holy Spirit is all that we need. Some churches say that the Holy Spirit comes in and fills the believer at salvation. That's correct. That's right. But they leave it there. We Pentecostals believe in In another experience that we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he shall baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. At salvation, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the element of Christ's body. And at spirit baptism, Jesus baptizes us in the element of the Holy Ghost himself. We also refer to it as the fullness of Spirit. But I'm here to tell you today that one or two of those experiences with the Holy Spirit is not enough. Because the phrase, be filled with the Spirit, carries the verb tense, the verb meaning to be filled presently with continuing future action. David said, I have been anointed with fresh oil. He was anointed while he was a shepherd boy. He was anointed when he was to be king over Judah. He was anointed when he became king over all of Israel. As an adult, he was anointed again. David longed to be anointed with fresh oil. And I want you to know that as your ministry unfolds, young people, as your ministry unfolds, and as responsibilities increase, you need fresh oil. You need the anointing again. You need the power of God. You need that to keep you fresh and to keep you powerful, because the truth is, you're not powerful enough. You're not smart enough. You're not wise enough. You're not big enough. You have to have the power of God upon your life. You know, we desperately need the breath of God in America today. What would happen if Spirit-filled men of God stepped in the pulpit and were anointed with God and preached the gospel and preached the truth? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Long for a fresh anointing, for fresh oil. This is not an option. Be filled with the Spirit is a command, because it's needed, and it's needed for all of us. Listen to some of the people in the Bible who needed some things we wouldn't need the anointing for. We might think, well, the anointing is to preach the gospel. The anointing is for much more than that. In Exodus, God says, see, I've called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. He needed the anointing, because that was needed for the construction of the tabernacle. The angel told Zechariah that John should be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. That was needed for effective ministry for the Baptist. New Testament says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them. That was needed for post-resurrection preaching. The prayer meeting was characterized by God filling people with His Spirit. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with what? Boldness. That's the major purpose for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that we might go out and we might speak the Word of God with boldness. Paul dealt with deceit, sorcery, and trickery. And in Acts it says, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? He, because of his fullness in the Spirit, he was able to perceive and discern deceit and trickery and the work of the enemy. One of the Beatitudes makes this promise. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled with what? Filled with the Spirit. The apostles were to look for deacons. And it says in Acts 6:3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom may we appoint over this business. This is God's intent to fill us. It's our privilege. To be filled with the Spirit is to take things to a whole new level. It's to become another man. Our thoughts, our actions, our expressions are now according to the will of God. And what are the results? A glorious fullness of being. There is relationship. There is unity. There is strength. There is decision. There is ability. There is character. There is inspiration. There is a heavenly living in an earthly existence. There is assurance. The fullness of the Spirit leaves no room for doubt. There is comfort, because the Holy Spirit is another comforter of the same kind as Jesus. There is freedom because the Holy Ghost breaks the shackles. There is might or strength. There is power and authority. God doesn't need weak children. God doesn't need weak Christians. You know why? Because there are Goliaths out there to fight. There are giants that need to be fought. There are walls that need to be conquered. And God chose David and he anointed him with fresh oil because there was a Goliath that he had to meet. And there were other giants that would challenge him. There are fields to burn. Adults, there are young people. There are young people that you need to set on fire for God. There is fire. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. And the fire was manifest on the day of Pentecost. It sat upon each of them. The Holy Spirit generates and illuminates. The fire refines. The baptism of the Holy Fire burns out the dross so that you can be all for God. He will fill you with passion, but a different kind of passion. That's part of the anointing. The Holy Spirit will make you holy, will make you what you ought to be. But he will also eliminate. He will add the fruit, but he will remove the works of wickedness and unrighteousness. He will remove the works of the flesh. He'll add the Spirit, but take out the flesh. We grow into holiness, but we cannot grow in holiness. But because of the Holy Spirit, we grow into holiness. He makes us holy. So we realize that holiness is more internal than external. Sometimes we get turned off from holiness because of the misuse, the outward expressions of holiness. Holiness starts on the inside. And when we're holy here, the outside, God will take care of that as well. David needed fresh oil with each new responsibility. His people were depending on him. They were depending on David to lead them, to guide them, to make wise decisions on their behalf. They were counting on David. You know why I pray for the fresh anointing? Because you have to turn out okay. That's true. You have to turn out okay. Someday I will stand before God and I will give an account of you. And I want you to turn out okay. And I want to be with you to help you so that your children turn out okay. I need the anointing of God in my life for your benefit. And I beg God, God, give me the anointing. Give me fresh power. Give me an endowment of your Spirit. Breathe on me because my people need it. You need it. You deserve. You need a pastor who can preach with the anointing of God and the power of God to help you with your problems, to help you with your families. But you know what? You also need it for yourselves. You need the anointing on your life for yourself. Fresh oil is what I need. Fresh oil is what you need. So men of God, let's do what we can. Let's be resolved like David was. I will be anointed with fresh oil. Every once in a while, I realize as things start getting dry in my life, then I need fresh oil. That I need a fresh anointing. And I think you guys actually know when I get it. Because some of you come to me and say, Pastor, your sermons have really gone to a new level. Or they've blessed me more lately than they have before. And I just thank God because I just say, God, I need you. I can't do this without you. I've tried. I don't want to go there. I can't do it without you. I need fresh oil. From time to time, I need a fresh anointing of God's Spirit. And you need it too. And you can tell in your life when things are starting to get barren. That is the time you need to get on your knees before God. Say, I will be anointed with fresh oil. God, I need a new endowment of your Holy Spirit. I need your power. Jesus, would you breathe on me? Just like Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Jesus, breathe on me that I might receive the Holy Ghost again in his fullness, that I might be anointed with fresh oil. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Where are you at in your life? First of all, I usually give you the chance, if you've not asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, if He's not made you yet a king or a priest because you've not asked Him to be your Savior, would you do that today? You don't need to come to me. You don't need to go to anybody else. You can do it right where you're sitting today. You have direct access to God. Because you know when Jesus died on the cross, there was a curtain in the temple that was torn. That curtain was the place for the priest. Only he could go in there. But when Jesus died, that curtain was torn. It meant anybody could go there. Anybody could go into the presence of God. You were in the presence of God this morning. Just tell Him, Jesus, I receive You as my Savior. I confess my sins. I repent of them. Come into my heart, save me. Make me a king. Make me a priest of Yours. And I'd like to know, if you're praying that today, could I see your hand? Amen. 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 Lord, we thank You for those that have raised their hand this morning. What a privilege it is to be a king and a priest of Yours. What a privilege it is even to be Your child. And Lord, then to think that You have chosen us and that You have chosen to anoint us and use us. You have chosen that these bodies be containers for Your Holy Spirit. It's just an awesome thought. And at the same time, an awesome responsibility, because working for You is a solemn work. But Lord, today, I'm sure there are many that want fresh oil. May they not leave here disappointed. May nobody leave here today without the power of God. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we stand? Let's sing that chorus. They are playing, Let It Breathe on Me. I like to sing us one through one time and then we'll stop. And I like to give further instructions for you today. But Let It Breathe on Me. You know this chorus? Old chorus. Let it breathe on me. Let it breathe. I would like us to do. From time to time I've done this. I've anointed people with oil, which means that they are a servant of God. They're a king and a priest of God. If you have never been anointed with service, for service, you want to serve God, but you've never been anointed to serve, I'd like you to come and stand on the right side, my left, your right. If you've been in your life and you just feel like you need a fresh anointing. You need a fresh touch of God's Holy Spirit. Would you come and stand on my right, your left? And I want you just to consider yourself dismissed at any time. And please excuse me if I'm not in the back today to greet you. I don't know how many people will respond. But if you've never been anointed for service over here, if you just need a fresh touch on God, from God, fresh oil, come to this side this morning. And I want all of you who've taken on new responsibilities, your ministry is widening, to please come and stand up here too, on one of these sides. And I'm not going to be able to pray with each one of you. Please understand that. So what I'm going to do is I am just going to simply anoint each of you. And you ask God for the fresh oil. You ask God for the fresh anointing. And after I've anointed everybody, then I'll come back and start praying. And once you've prayed to God and you felt the touch of God in your life, why don't you just turn to your neighbor and pray for them and ask God to give them a fresh anointing of His Spirit, or to, for the first time, that they would be anointed for service. Every priest, every king should be anointed. But especially if you have new responsibilities and your ministry is widening, you need to be anointed with fresh oil. Make sense today, everybody understand? All right, George, I'm going to anoint you first so you can come up here and lead the singing, all right? And I'll pray for you because I won't have a chance to pray for everybody. Lord, today I just anoint George with oil, the symbol of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we anoint him for service for you. Lord, we pray that your blessing, that your Holy Spirit would fall upon him today. Jesus, that you would breathe on him the breath of God. Breathe on him with the Holy Ghost. Endue him with power for ministry and service. In Jesus' name. Lord, may I anoint you with oil in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Rachel, I anoint you with oil in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Josh, I anoint you with oil in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Matt, I anoint you with oil in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Val, I anoint you with oil in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Annette, I anoint you with oil in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Carl, I anoint you with breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let the breath of God
for service in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Let it breathe
on
me.
Let the breath
of God now breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let the breath
for service in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus.
Now breathe.
And I anoint these children, Lord, also for service. Service to you in the name of our Lord.
Let it breathe on me.
Lord, we just ask you
in the name of our Lord and Savior.
To pour out your Spirit, Lord, on each one that is here. Touch their hearts, touch their minds. Breathe into them, Lord, new understanding for your word, new understanding for their lives, Lord, new understanding for their jobs, for the responsibilities, Lord, that they have. Each one, Father, each one. Touch each one, Father. Touch each one.
In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, you are the very air that we do breathe. Hallelujah. Living in us, Lord. Hallelujah. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe, your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I I'm lost without you, Jesus. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you, Lord. We're so lost, Lord, without you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. Desperate for you, and I'm lost without you. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you, Jesus. I'm lost without you. I'm desperate.